Now, grazing the grass is going to start.
Love Talk Radio.
You want to cut that down. Hello.
Love Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to another evening of the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. This is Gregory, and tonight Gregory is traveling, and B, our beloved B. LaDozier, is our producer and guest host. So when you call in to chat, not only will you have me, you also have B to chat. And to get things going, I've asked B to run a lecture I did on another program. And the lecture is concerned with what's beyond sourcination. And you may recall sourcination is that procedure protocol that's described on the lightgiver.org website, which allows you to begin with aura clearing and allows you to go through the experience of what we're calling and what you can understand to be as ascension. So let's listen to the lecture, the talk I gave. This was a couple of years ago, explaining what's beyond sourcination. Maestro, if you
Love
please.
Talk Radio.
We're listening to is How Do You Find God? And that's really, really, really appropriate for the chat we're having today because I'm tasked to talk about what lies beyond sourcination. I recast that, what lies beyond soul ascension and what lies beyond, to an extent, God ascension and why. Now, all of us are familiar with the fact that when there is a prescription medicine that's on the market, at some point we heave a sigh of relief when our physician now says, well, it's gone generic. What that means is that the patent has expired, and it is now generally available to a much larger population because the price has dropped. To a great extent, the finding of God as it is, in truth, has been down to the ages, restricted to those who were able to, or who had to give themselves various Vedic practices, spending days and days and perhaps even months in caves or locked in huts, or perhaps going through extraordinarily rigorous diets, and lastly, needing to be anointed practically by their predecessor in whatever that tradition was to bring them to a higher state. We call those individuals down through the ages masters, and we even call them that today. And many of them will spend hours and hours and hours reciting to us what comes to them from the inner planes or from other masters and exhorting us practically to aspire to the same levels that they have. Now, one of the things that Paul Twitchell, the founder of Eckankar, wrote is that many of the inner travelers have had great difficulty coming to the point where they could describe what the experience was like beyond what we're calling a soul ascension. So you can see that it's a heroic effort for me to want to tell you what lies beyond sourcination. Now, what I want to be clear about is that the focus of this work is not on simply healing the physical body and its attachments. Just think about it. All the people that Jesus healed are now dead. So healing doesn't last. In fact, you may even ask, what's the purpose of healing anyway? Well, in addition to your body maintaining its normal functioning, the healing that's provided by practitioners, in my opinion, has the fundamental job of not only restoring us to a path of wellness, but it also has the fundamental job of demonstrating to us that life and things can be changed through the application of energies and also through the shift of attention, which is all that's there. But for the individual who has been following or did follow the path of mastership and finally reached that point where he or she was recognized as such, or a saint, or an immortal, or a bodhisattva, and so forth, or as a God-realized being, that the healings that they were given, the scope and depth of them, were often kept secret, or at least out of the eyes of the ordinary devotee or follower, so that one did not get the plethora of healings and clearings that we have on our list until they had been chosen as a successor. Now, you may ask, why is that? The answer is because the individual who was chosen as a successor had agreed to be the vehicle for extraordinarily powerful healing energies that he would or she would distribute or be the distributor of, and spiritual energies to the devotees. So in other words, this list of clearings and healings that I will discuss with you in a moment was originally designed to facilitate the recipient becoming a completely clear vehicle. It was as if each person who received these healings and clearings was the same as a mirror, or better yet, a window through which the divine light was to flow into the population of devotees, chelas, students, and so forth. So it had to be cleaned up. But that occurred outside of the view of the devotees, chela, and student population, so no one really knew what was going on. They simply knew that at some point, Sri or Master so-and-so would announce that he or she was moving on, or perhaps they would translate overnight, and then someone else would come out clearly with the energetic mantle arraignment of the Master. But today, that trademark, that patent, has expired. That the particular healings and clearings that were restricted, and ascensions that were restricted to the heirs to the throne, to the successors, to the ones that were going to inherit the mantle of the Masters, that has expired. They are now available to you. Now, I'm telling this not because I decided it. I'm not that powerful and not that smart, but I was given the job by a group of higher healing beings. Some know them as archangels, some know them as ascended masters, but it doesn't really matter where it came from because of the experience which you are able to directly have and are having. Many of you have already written us telling us that the experiences you're having are really enriching your lives. So let me just walk through the list in the time that I have and just tell you that they will occur in no particular order, but they will occur, and quite often they occur instantly. Now, what I want to say about this list is we're not trying to say that what you experience is limited to this. these simply happen to be the things that we know about based on our own experience in energy testing. Some of you may even suggest adding a few other things based on your experience, and we'll energy test to see how broadly applied they might be. One of the first one I'll mention is transmission of rejuvenation energies. The idea is that there are energies that are within the universe that have the capacity to rejuvenate all the cells of the body and to restore them to fully functioning health. Now, there are some possible energetic interventions that might occur that might slow them down, but this is generic. Elimination of the egoic body. Eckhart Tolle has talked a lot about how over the years most people develop an inner defensive system that's tied to judgments that are made as an extension of mental function. And he describes ways to bring that egoic body basically into line. What you will find that this multiplied healing energy does, divine healing energy does, is it simply removes that tendency. And what that does is to allow yourself to function from a full soul awareness. Conjoined with that is what could be called the reactive defensive body, and that's that particular extension of the egoic body that not only judges, but also takes action that's quite often overprotective. Now, these have been your really good friends, so as you go through your own inner clearings and healings, what you'll want to do is just feel a great feeling of love and appreciation. Now, when these are eliminated, what we notice is angelic presences replace them. Just as divine healing energy replaces all the negative energies pulled out of your system, so do the angelic presences take the place of these reactive and the defensive bodies and the egoic body. There's also a downloading of new energetic structures of each organ and gland and system in your body is supported by an energetic system, which sometimes gets weaker through the years, and so there's a download. When you are in the master consciousness and God consciousness, your center, your perception of reality can change, and of course that's changing for the better. You have a much broader view. That comes about because there's something that's called a super brain that is installed. Over the years, as we grow older, let me recast that. When we first come into the incarnation, we have what we call wellness templates. That is that the body has a sense of what each aspect of it is in a wellness state. And here we're talking about each of your energy bodies. So you have a physical body, an emotional body, you might call it a memory, a causal body, a mental body, and unconscious. And over the years, the ability to hang on to that image of complete wellness begins to fade. And what emerges is an image of disease, an image of unwellness that begins to transcend and essentially trump the wellness template. So this divine healing energy or multiplied healing energy will eliminate the disease templates and restore the wellness templates to 100%. Your longevity hormones, that is, are activated, and those, I don't know if we say it here, but that's in conjunction with the reduction of the death hormone, which is called cortisol, which comes about because of great amounts of stress. Now, cortisol was really useful when one was confronted with saber-toothed tigers, and our bodies still are great dangers, and our bodies are still calibrated to generate that. But for most of us, getting caught in a traffic jam or being late to school isn't quite the same as being chased by some predator who's interested in consuming us. Your energy bodies will get a complete healing. You have a pain body, an emotional body, a mental ego, and a trauma body, for those of you who have experienced different kinds of trauma throughout your lifetime, you may notice that while the images may remain, the energies associated with them have been replaced by tolerance and love and so forth. Parallel lives are healed. Unhealthy or negative prenatal influences, not only and prenatal influences, of course, would be while you're in your mother's womb, but also even in previous incarnations. If any of you have implants, entities, foreign intelligences, or even extraterrestrial devices that have been implanted that are interfering with your spiritual growth and development, the source energy will neutralize that. Blockages in love relationships also will be neutralized, and the inner child, alter egos, walk-in and extractions that interfere with your spiritual development will also be neutralized as well. Now, you can see how all of this was done for the masters in training, and that, my friends, is what you are.
All righty, back to you, Gregory.
Well, that was really an interesting little talk. I mean, just when it was starting to get good, it ended.
Yeah. It was a wonderful lecture.
Yeah, well, what is being explained there is it's one of those, for the first time revealed to the public, is what actually occurs when someone is on the brink of entering, shall we say, a responsibility as a spiritual teacher, say, of some significance, particularly those who would head a group or an organization like a guru or satguru or something like that. And it's just not really been explained very well. It hasn't been talked about at all. So what basically happens is the person who's selected to be the spiritual successor goes off perhaps into the wilderness, into the woods, into the forest, into the cave. And all of those little adjustments and tinkerings are done to bring this person to the point that they are completely whole, that they are truly a divine being, that they are the God being, the God man, the God woman, etc. And having gone through that experience, then the person is able to emerge and to faithfully carry out his or her responsibility to bring others to some level of discipleship. Now, the irony of it is that in many of the spiritual hierarchy, there would only be one individual who would be vested and given that level of treatment or support. And the remainder of the people would kind of wonder, well, why wasn't I chosen? Why was he or she chosen? Have I not prayed enough? Have I not done enough meditations? Have I not sacrificed enough? Et cetera, et cetera. So in raising one individual to be the worthy one, then what it confers on the many, many people who also are part of the same movement, a sense of unworthiness. Now, what was not mentioned in the lecture, and I'm glad that I have a chance to add to it, is the fact that there also is a particular responsibility that is exercised by the individual higher being, ascended master, spiritual teacher, whomever, a responsibility that he or she exercises in connection with the person who is being given that, shall we say, that spiritual and energetic support. Now, in some traditions, there's actually a transmission of energy. So the person has come to the brink of that higher state but can't go any further until his spiritual teacher, Guru Satguru, transmits a burst of, shall we say, enlightenment and uplifting energy that ushers the individual into the higher state. In this work, the Light Giver work, we recast that and acknowledge that the energy is already vested in the individual, so that what the Light Giver simply does is adjust the frequency in which the individual is embedded to allow a greater perception allow his or her perception to expand to a greater sense of personal awareness. And in so doing, then, they move to what, through soul ascension, soul consciousness, through God consciousness, God ascension, and then the source consciousness and source ascension. So that's the only part that I probably would have added to that talk. I don't know why I didn't do it. Maybe it's because I knew that someday I'd get a chance to do that with you.
Oh, I appreciate
so,
that. Wonderful explanation.
So now, is there anybody on the line?
We've got some listeners, but no one has raised their hand yet.
Oh.
So I believe they're probably listening and formulating their own questions.
Right. Is there anybody in the chat room sending a question?
No, we've got guests and I'm sure they can hear us. If they log in with their name and it's free to sign in, they can then interact with us in chat room.
Right. Okay. Well, then I guess I have to let you pick on me and extend our conversation.
That's just great.
So,
I like that. You know that's one of my favorite things to do.
I do know. And thank you for being on the line.
Absolutely. Thank you for waking me up.
Oh, that's funny. To the listeners, Bea and I talked 3 or 4 days ago, and she had agreed to be my host because I don't have access to the Internet. You know, I'm traveling, and I just happened to realize that for some reason, the dial-in number wasn't in the phone I was using, and I called Bea and said, "Well, Bea, now what's the dial-in number?" She says, "Dial-in for what?"
I'm telling you.
I said, "You're the guest. You're my host tonight." She said, "Oh, okay. Well, let me get on."
Yeah.
So, Bea, the number of things that I discussed in the talk, is there something there that you'd like for me to perhaps say a bit more about there?
Yeah, I think one of the questions that a lot of our listeners had or have in the past is about the masters.
Yes.
I think that in a way that is the masters are almost like a confusing topic. Are the masters God? Are the masters Jesus? Many of the folks that listen in are Christian of one sort or another, you know, following certain paths. But what we do is an expansion, right, of their path. So I know that's a question that I've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the masters?
Well, that's a fair question, and I think it's a question that probably, if you remember when you do when you write a newspaper article, and I was briefly a newspaper reporter. In the first sentence, the lead, you're supposed to cover the who, what, where, and why. Those are the things
right.
that you're supposed to address. And I think with regards to the master, that's a who, what, where, and why question. And rather than the who part, which tends to personalize it, it's probably better to get at it, in my opinion, by addressing the question of what. And then perhaps why, and maybe even when. So if I leave out any of those, let me know. The first question is, if we go from let's just move, say, outside of ordinarily daily life, and consider the fact that what is common probably across all religions and spiritual paths is the idea that God, or as the higher being, whether it's Jehovah, Allah, or whatever, has vested, say, a portion of himself or itself in every human being. And the purpose of life, or of the human life, is to learn not only what God is, but how to manifest God even more in daily life. So the challenge is, if that is God's intention, what is the mechanism by which that can be that can occur? What is it that needs to occur? So what you'll find then is in every religious tradition and spiritual tradition, even some of the martial arts traditions, there are individuals who are vested with the capability of inspiring, uplifting, and bringing others to that high realization of themselves in a spiritual sense. And what has happened is, in most cases, individuals who are vested with that responsibility are simply given the title master. They're called masters. Personally, you know, I have generally avoided, you know, using that term for myself and have encouraged other individuals who had similar responsibilities not to use that term, because what has been explained to me years ago was that a person who was a master of any type was only a master of themselves and not in a spiritual sense. They were not masters of others. If they were able to do anything, it would be, say, they're able to master themselves enough to be examples of sorts to others and to be able to support them in their own spiritual evolution. One of the things I say years ago was, if you were in a room full of masters, were there any masters in the room?
Right.
And the short answer is that there were no masters in the room. They were just simply individuals who had achieved some level of competency. The other thing I used to say was the thing that made an individual a true master was not how far he or she had come, but the realization of how far they needed to go in a great sense of humility.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem, I think, with the masters is that many individuals who have those titles and know others who have those titles use those in some way to give credibility to what's being taught. So they're saying, you have to believe what I'm saying because I'm a master. Oh, no, if you believe what I'm saying, it's because it makes sense to you. And what does that mean? That you're the master because you're making the judgment yourself about what's suitable and what fits you and what you will do. Any individual who uses my judgment, their credential, their title, or even spiritual responsibility to direct another's path, to direct their path and to control their direction, and in some cases even limit their possibilities, is an individual that probably is, if they're calling themselves a master, shall we say, might be mistitled.
Right.
What one, in my opinion, needs to get from the presence of the master is of a true master, I would say, and I'm not saying I'm one of those, but this is my opinion, is that what you ought to be able to get is a sense of their fundamental respect for your freedom to choose and their willingness to admit that whatever enlightenment you have is your own accomplishment. Now, that's the perception I have of what the master is basically, a master is basically about. But a lot of individuals who are respective of those titles are at the heads of organizations sometimes that tend to be more exclusive and less inclusive than the individual at the head would prefer, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, so you take, just picking on a group I'm very familiar with, Eckankar, that my experience was, as I was a leader in Eckankar, I tend to be much more self-righteous, much more judgmental, and much more controlling than I'm sure the respective head, who at that point was Harold Klimp, actually was.
Right.
That, you know, and I think a lot of organizations is that way. So it turns out that the organizations quite often a very much of an imperfect reflection of the individuals at the head of it. I don't know. Okay, so that's the what is. I think I've addressed the why. And the when, if I'm going to address when an individual comes to that responsibility, is a number of ways. I mentioned that he may be appointed. It may be that he has, kind of like Eckhart Tolle, has, you know, phenomenal enlightenment experiences, mm-hmm. and begins to accumulate people around him who somehow start becoming followers, devotees, and so he then emerges in time as being some sort of spiritual guru. And let's see, what, when, why, what have I left anything out? Where?
How?
How? Okay, well, I'll go back to it. The how, to some extent, you understand. I mean, when I talked about how Eckhart Tolle became, that's how he became, was to have a very powerful enlightenment experience. And then to begin to write, as I understand it, and have discussion groups. In other cases, it may be that your notice is taken of you, of your spiritual, of the efforts that you've made to achieve, you know, higher spiritual consciousness, and then you're given some sort of recognition.
Right. We may have just lost you, Gregory. I'm not hearing you. You might have to call back in. If you can hear me, you might try calling back in. I'm right here at the board. But Gregory was explaining the who, what, where, when, and how of the term master. And the only thing that I would like to one other thing I'd like to ask Gregory when he gets back on is, and he should be calling in momentarily. I see he's been dropped from the board. Okay, so would be then taking all that into consideration, are we, each of us, indeed masters? And I know what my opinion is on that question, and yes, I feel we all are. I certainly won't even attempt to answer for Gregory, but he'll definitely be giving us a call in, a call back. He probably, I know he's traveling, and more than likely he hit a dropout point on his travels. And we know that that happens from time to time with cell phones when you pop in between towers. So, and if you do hear any meowing in the background, I want you to know that that's Miss Kiki, who's right here with me. Like, she always likes to keep me company when I'm on the air. But masters, when we think in terms that we, each of us, are a master, sure, you can say that we, each of us, are masters of our own fate. Indeed, we are what we think. The thoughts and the energy that we put out to the universe is what returns to us. That's, I think, a common spiritual law. But, on the other hand, the masters which we speak of, such as Jesus, probably one of the most beloved and well-known masters, Allah, as Gregory had mentioned earlier, one of the most beloved and well-known masters. Yes, they're not God. They're masters, meaning that they have followers, they have devotees, they have teaching that others of us wish to emulate. So I kind of like that as an answer, and when Gregory gets on, we'll definitely pose that question to him. Another question I would like to ask Gregory, or who are some of the masters? Of course, we've mentioned already Jesus. We've mentioned Allah. There are a number of others. Baha'u'llah in the Baha'i faith. Any number of sacred teachers. In Ekankar, it is the living master. And that is today still Harold Klemp. In the Way of Truth, it is Michael Owens, who is the living master, the spiritual leader of the organization. Many organizations have spiritual leaders or gurus, if you will. So each of these masters have something to teach to their followers. And I do believe we have Gregory back on the line. I believe that's you, Gregory.
Yeah, my phone I was using just died. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me. So now I'm trying my cell phone.
Yeah, couldn't hear you. But I don't know if you caught any of that, but posed some questions, and I was waiting for you to come back on to ask. Two questions that I feel our listeners would like to hear is, are we, each of us as individuals, a master? I know, you know, you hear many times, we are the masters of our own fate. You know, you are what you think, etc. But in the deeper explanation, are we masters? And not just the masters of our own lives. Are we masters? What defines a master that we can say, oh, yeah, I'm that? And
I'll answer the question, but you're saying bits and pieces. The first level of experience has to do with the extent to which we take responsibility for our own lives and circumstances. And many of us, at different points in time, and some completely, feel so completely overwhelmed by all that goes on, and quite often will feel that there are other circumstances and other forces that are working in our lives, and we are living with the results of those other actions.
Mm-hmm.
The distinction between that experience and that of the individual who would allow others to say, yes, you're truly a master, is that they come to a point where they feel or believe that they're masters of their own consciousness, which is the point I was starting to work to when the phone died,
mm-hmm.
so that they come to a point where they understand that all that occurs within their environment to some extent, to a great extent, is a function or the result of how they allow themselves to experience a reality. I would say that an individual who is truly a master, now this is going to swim the opposite direction, has reached a true state of mastership, doesn't think of himself or herself as being a master of anything.
Right.
What he or she comes to a point where they simply say, I live my life and I am one with God, that I accept the fact that what happens around me often is a function of how I allow myself to be. I accept the fact that those things that come into my life are quite often the result of actions that I've taken.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that I have a choice between being a loving being or something else. And I choose to be a loving being. And then someone walked up to them and said, are you a master? They probably say, what are you talking about? So to the extent I think that an individual is able to, operate in that way, to that extent, others might say to them, well, you really achieved mastership. And they might say, oh, yeah? You think so, huh? So I don't know if that's a good response. But so the answer would be yes or no. It just depends on how you experience yourself and how you choose to experience yourself. I don't know if that would I don't know if that would answer the question that anyone, might have about am I a master, your master. I guess my response would be, oh, I don't know, are you? I don't want to be mean about it, but really,
Hey, you've got a caller in the queue if you'd like to take a call.
Well, I'd love to.
All righty. Well, let's get this caller right on the air.
Let's see.
Almost. Just one second. I don't know why it's not letting me. There it goes. All right. Area code 618. You're live and on the air with Gregory.
Hello, hi, Gregory. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, hon.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something about the show. I guess it was Sunday. I listened to it with Gregory and Ian.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, even though we're psychics or spiritualists, there are things that we're kind of don't know if we can talk about it, kind of on the ham about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you're the first person that I've ever listened to that has talked about some of the things that has happened to me that I have experienced and have not ever read about. And I've read a lot of books. But so I was going to comment, it was kind of funny the way you put it about talking about the cocktail talk about initiation.
Yes, that was Ian, yeah.
Yeah, that was Ian. But I had never met anyone that had been initiated or, you know, had those kind of experiences. So I was happy to hear that. I'm not the only one.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, I have most of my friends in the past that are, they have gone into spirit, but a lot of them were psychics or not psychics on the radio or professional necessarily, but people that had a gift, you know. And but I never talked about my initiations that I have had. Never have I talked about it. And so when I heard you talk about it, I thought, maybe I can talk about it. You know,
sure.
It's what I'm trying to say is it's good to have to know someone that has gone through things that I have gone through, not necessarily psychic stuff. I would say that's a spiritual thing.
I think the thrust of Ian's comments, I think, was one to acknowledge that, you know, initiations occur, but also to point out that some people are initiation collectors, and they are essentially seeking experiences without quite often making, shall we say, the leap to a permanent state of what we would call in this work of an ascended consciousness, you know.
But,
and
the way I experienced that, I do not see how someone could seek that out.
Well,
I guess maybe they could. Huh?
Yeah, well, see, there's some people who will, you know, like there's something called Diksha, and then there are Shaktipats, and then there are initiations, and then there are transmissions. And it's possible, because there's so many different things out there, it's possible for an individual to get a prior healing session with a workshop with one of the prior healing masters and get a Shaktipat.
Oh, okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And then the very next day to sign up, you know, to get a Diksha, get a oneness transmission, and then the very next day perhaps to sit with a Qigong master. So you can, especially if you live in Boston or L.A., you can get something every night if you really want to. So there are folks who do that, and they're looking for that boost.
But that doesn't necessarily, I'm a natural psychic or a spiritualist, however you want to word that. And, you know, I guess it's more so the way it happened to me, I was in more shock than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was really surprised that this was happening because I mean, I didn't really know what was going to happen, and I didn't seek it out, as you're talking about, you know. You know what I mean? To me, it's a natural occurrence.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing which is kind of connected to it, what I really liked about, and I would encourage, by the way, anyone who's listening who didn't have a chance to hear the show that Susan and I are talking about, which was it was December 2nd, and then also it was on a Thursday as well. It was an interview I did with Ian Gardner, who's an old spiritual colleague from a number of years ago. And mm-hmm. the thing that struck me, and I don't know if it struck you as well, Susan, is how he just rather gently affirmed the role of freedom of choice in our spiritual search. You know, he found he had nothing to say that was not positive about any religious or spiritual tradition. And what he simply said was, you know, that people will start studying with or following someone whom they feel comfortable with, and after a certain point in time, you know, it won't fit them anymore, and they'll move on to something else. And that
yes,
was such a,
I remember
so,
that passage.
You know, that was such a celebration of the role and responsibility of freedom of choice. And yet there's so many people we know, and I've been one of them, that would start, you know, studying with the master and feel like, well, it was something I almost needed to do for the rest of my lifetime. And when I would move on to something else, the people who were still there would look at me like as if I betrayed them, you know, as if I left the church or if I was going to be consigned to hellfire or something like that. And it was just very comforting to be able to have him say to the listeners, look, you, it's part of your spiritual responsibility to know when essentially that particular teaching no longer serves you and you have a responsibility to continue onward. And that the role of the master is simply to support you for that period of time and allow you to move on. I think that's a nice message for people to hear.
Yes, it is. I agree with you. It's a beautiful message that it's time. It's just time to move on. You've learned what you need to learn, heard what you need to hear, and it's time to go on. Yes.
That's right. And so I told
that's
him,
a kind
you know,
way to put it. You know.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's almost as if we were just dealing with the question of the master. As an individual, I'll go on, go back to these questions about, are you a master? I would say any individual who is comfortable enough with himself or herself and their own spiritual search to know when they come to a point that a teaching or a path of study no longer serves them, is truly not a master, a master in root or a master in training. How, does that work for you, B?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, is it, you know, that's, I think that's really responsible. And I think that is something that is a real contribution to this kind of conversation. In fact, Ian and I have chatted a couple of times, and B will be delighted to know that he's agreed to come back on some more, and when he comes back from his latest trip to Burma, we might have him on regularly, maybe even as a co-host.
That would be great.
That would be great fun, yeah. So I'm
yeah, he's fabulous.
Yeah, and yes, and a lot of information that he has access to that I'm sure listeners will really enjoy. And that connection, B, I don't know if you know it, but between the two shows that we did with Ian, the one show that we did, and then the repeat that you know you ran for me on, I think it was on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday, and you turned it off. I got excited that there's been nearly 500 people have already downloaded the interview.
Yeah, it was a marvelous show. I mean, well, the two of you fed off each other in a very beautiful way. There was a real comfort level there that was electrical. So it was really good energy.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to even more. And Susan, you liked it too, huh?
What?
Susan, So, Susan, you found that dialogue that we had is interesting as the idea, I think, huh?
Yes, I listened to it twice. I listened to the show twice. I was very interested in it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it'll be a tremendous delight. And also, he has somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people who are part of it, who I think are already consumers of his silence project that he's working on, the one that he goes out and interviews people around the world about the values of meditation and spiritual work. And he intends to share that interview with them, and that will probably expand the listenership for GGM there. So I think we're going to take another step forward. Let's see now, beyond impersonation. The one thing that I think is I listened to that list of topics that I'm not really sure if the picture came through that what is actually going on is the completion of an individual's and refinement of the individual's, shall we say, spiritual beingness. You know, is it to say that if you're going to become, say the God man, the God woman, or whatever, what is it that needs to be cleared in your energy field that allows you then to fulfill completely your spiritual responsibility? Now, having said that, what isn't clear, as I think back on the talk, what isn't clear is what actually happens is, let's say we're sitting down, so I'm sitting with you B right now, and also you and Susan, Susan will do this with you right now. So what happens is, the individual who's the Ascension Master, and I haven't talked much about that responsibility, I'm one of those, really sends to you, just pretty much the same way that Jesus said, you know, to some of the people he healed, you know, you're now healed, you're now complete. So the Ascension Master says to you, I say to you, Susan, I say to you this, you are now God ascended. God ascension is yours if you choose to accept it. So, Susan, do you choose to accept God ascension?
I certainly do.
Okay, so just hold still right now. Now, you notice it's a freedom of choice. Now, tell me, Susan, what are you now experiencing right now? What's going on for you?
Right now, I feel a lot of energy around me in the light of the higher power.
Okay.
I feel warm, very warm and full of energy in my legs, my arm, my head, my crown chakra. Oh.
Okay.
My whole body.
So what happens is you are instantly God ascended. Now, in that moment then, there are any number of things that if you are as clear as you can possibly be, that will and can occur. And to all of your listeners right now, I say this to you. First, if you have not experienced soul ascension, you are now soul ascended, if that is your choice. And having said that, I'll be right back to you in a minute, Susan. Currently, we have an audience here, either listening right now, or perhaps they'll be getting from the archives. So I better do a little cleanup work before we go any farther with you. So the thing is, now, the only thing that could prevent you from experiencing complete soul ascension would be if they have a contract which is interfering with their spiritual development, if there is connections to others that are not of light and love, if there are individuals or beings and outside the energy field that are interfering, and also the inhibiting beliefs. And now what I just say to you listeners is to simply say, I now release any and all contacts interfering. I now disconnect from anyone that's not of light and love. I now ask that any beings inside, outside, and aura that are not of light and love, I ask that they be removed. And last but not least, I ask that any influence from the past life or even this life that are interfering or ask that all now be removed and neutralized. And then the next thing we'd want to say, those of you still listening, say, I now accept soul ascension, if that's what you want. Now, soul ascension, you simply become free of karma, and you're now in what's called nirvana, satori, jivanmukti, kingdom of heaven. Notice how you're experiencing yourself. You're free, spiritual freedom. Now, the next thing is where we were with Susan, is at that point, if you're ready for it, simply say, I accept God ascension. And then knowing that we just went through a really long list of that talk, then the next thing you'd want to simply say is that I ask that all of the corrections and clearings that are listed under God's ascension now occur. This would include rejuvenation. This would include longevity hormones, reduction of cortisol. This would include killing of parallel lives, asking all archangels and all parallel lives to bring that about, removal of all trauma and pain bodies, clearing up of any disturbances in love relationships, and on and on and on. Okay, Susan, how are you experiencing yourself?
I can move my right arm up over my head. I can move my arm more freely than I could before I got on the show. And I also am feeling I have some cancer on my face, and I'm feeling energy around that also.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your spirit consciousness, the light that you see, what are you seeing in your room where you are? You see light?
I see light. I feel warmth all over my throat chakra. I can feel a change in my throat chakra also.
So you're having some healing effects. That's interesting because the intention of the work at this point, again, is to clear up whatever karmic and spiritual blockages there might be, because this essentially is the process that transforms you into the God being. This is essentially what this process is. This would be called God ascension. And
yes.
The thing interesting about this, Susan, is that down through the ages, there have been so many individuals who've had that experience. And what happens is they quite often rhapsodize about it so much, they glorify it so much, that it separates us from it as it occurs in our daily life. It's really very ordinary. It's extraordinary and it's ordinary. And it's individual. So the way you're experiencing it now would be completely different than how someone else would experience it. Every time I do something on one of these shows, B is sitting over there quietly and going through. It's always has B. Okay, B, what's going on over there in your neck of the woods? B, are you with us still?
Yeah.
So what was it like? What did you experience as we were going through all that?
Well, first of all, it's I'm like Susan. I usually feel that airiness, that lightness around the top of the crown chakra, almost like a tingling, almost like the top of the head lifts off a little bit, raises, if that's possible. But I feel that growth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there in the crown chakra. And I can't really tell physically
well,
if there are any changes.
The physical stuff is not the emphasis of the work at this point.
Right.
At this point, it's strictly the spiritual awareness.
Yeah.
That we're focusing on, yeah. So
yeah.
It's nice that Susan is getting some physical stuff. That's like extra added benefits, but it's spiritual awareness is taking a God ascension. Yeah. So what did you notice seeing-wise energetically?
Well, I'm a very visual person, and as you speak, I visualize what you're saying, spatially, I guess you could say. So as you're explaining the clearing out of all this negative energy, I see it. Yeah, I see it loading on a train and just driving away, you know, down the track, and like there it is. Goodbye. Don't need you anymore.
Well, that's good. That's good. And the thing that's so extraordinary is that you can see it happens in a moment, in an instant. You know, say, okay, Susan, are you ready for gas fishing? Susan says, yes. The challenge isn't for that to open up. The challenge is, how do you maintain it? You know, how do you maintain it? And the way it gets maintained is by the continuous practice of your spiritual discipline. In some cases, it could be prayer, polywordless prayer. In other cases, it might be contemplation. In other cases, the person may be a singer, and that's when they're singing. That's how they align with spirit. But whatever the spiritual practice is for alignment with spirit, then that's what needs to occur. Now, Susan, having gone through that, and also to listeners, you're now established in that state, if you're willing to accept it. But what you want to know is, the thing I didn't mention, is there's also something called the insulation of the super brain, which is simply a viewpoint of the master consciousness that allows you in any circumstance to see what is true and right and proper in that circumstance, and also to see what your actions can be and perhaps even should be. So you're brought to that spiritual height, the clarity of viewpoint. But if your mind becomes more active, if there are certain moments of insecurity that occur, then it will snatch you from that viewpoint as surely as day follows night. So you now are established in that spiritual perspective. That's where you are now. And then it becomes your challenge to continue to do your spiritual practices to maintain that viewpoint. And life can be, and often is, overwhelming. So if you find yourself being overwhelmed at any point, it doesn't mean you feel it. It only means that you've been momentarily overwhelmed. And just like a kid falling off a bicycle, you just get back on that spiritual state and stay there as best you can. And I guarantee you will. Well, I've been on soapbox for a while.
We've got a guest in our chat room, one of our listeners that has a question for you.
Okay.
All right, and it goes hand in hand with what you were just talking about. She says, I'm at war with releasing years of anger. Any suggestions, and why now in my life?
Well, it's funny. It's interesting that she's raised that question because I'm going to share a bit out of my own little personal life. Is that my daughter got really upset with me over the weekend, and it's as if she held a blowtorch to a certain lower part of my rear anatomy, and which just completely astounded me. It sort of came out of nowhere, and the understanding. So I took a dictation into your listener, a dictation just means that I get in contact with some of the light givers, the higher beings, archangels, and then let them sort of tell me what they see going on. Doesn't mean I have to believe it, but it's interesting to get another viewpoint. And what they explained to me is that there was a lot of anger that my daughter had, not only from the past lifetime, but it was in this life script. So the answer would be, using my daughter's situation as an example, is that if you follow that line of thinking, it would mean that either things happened in a previous lifetime or in this lifetime which needed to be resolved, and that it has now come to the point in your life, and I'll speak directly to that, so this is when it needs to disappear. Now, underneath anger, there usually is a profound feeling of being hurt. And there usually also is some aspect of unforgiveness. I'm not forgiven. So what I'm going to do, I'm sorry I can't get on the internet so I could dialogue directly in a chat room with this person. So what I'll do it, and B, I'll let you read the response, okay? So the first thing I'm going to do is say to the person in the chat room, here's what I want you to do. Just simply do the following, and other listeners can do it as well. Simply mentally say to your higher self, God, whoever you look to, the great unknown, so that they say, I ask that I be relieved of all inhibiting beliefs. Just say that and let it go. All inhibiting beliefs. The next thing is I ask that any contract or agreement that I've made, either in this lifetime or another, or anyone has made on my behalf, I ask that contract that's interfering with my spiritual growth, I ask that contract be canceled. And you just do these mentally. You don't have to do them out loud. I'm doing them out loud. You just do them mentally. Just be in line with that. And the third thing he said, if I am connected with anyone who is not of light and love, I ask that connection be severed. And the next one is simply to say, if there are any beings, entities, or others in or outside my energy field that are interfering with my spiritual growth, contributing to the sangha, I ask that they also be removed. Now, the thing to do, I'm going to ask the person before we go to the next step, is like, have you noticed any change in your feelings of anger? That's a yes or no. So, V, tell me what they're saying in the chat room.
Okay. She says she welcomes a way to heal this, is what
okay.
She says.
Okay. Well, I'm giving her techniques to heal it. So
yeah,
I'm
and she's writing
her.
Right now.
Yeah, I'm asking if she noticed any difference.
She says a little.
Okay, I understand. That's good. Now here comes the big bang. The
uh-oh.
Big bang. What's the following?
Hold on to your heart, your heart, auras.
Yeah, here's the big bang. It's simply to ask that any influences from the past, either this lifetime or any other, that are interfering with her, that are contributing to anger, ask that all those influences be removed. Now, what she has to do is in her heart say, I really mean I want them to be removed. And she may notice a feeling of like bubbles, like balloons going upward. That's what I'm seeing, like balloons going upward.
Mm-hmm. Releasing.
Yeah, releasing, exactly.
That's the vision unfolding for her, too.
Yeah. And now if we just get her to hold it, we don't have to hold it for her. She has to hold it for herself.
Absolutely. I'm assisting.
Okay, well,
I'm an assistant holder.
No, just keep blessing. Don't hold. Hold is not a good term. So let's just bless. Bless, bless, bless. Okay. So now, ask her what is she noticing. Are you noticing anything? We still got all that anger. We're not done yet.
Yeah, she says, I can breathe a bit better. Shall I listen again and repeat these?
No, not at all. All right, now, anger and such, what's sticking you, I will say it to her directly, is that it's forgiveness. Underneath all that is there somebody or something that's not being forgiven. And that's okay. I mean, we all have those moments. So now here's the exercise for forgiveness. First thing is imagine that you are standing in the middle of a football stadium. Could be the Super Bowl. And the stands are filled with people. Just filled with people. And the people are of two types. One type are those people. One type is the people who you may have offended, knowingly or unknowingly. And the other, the people who may have offended you knowingly or unknowingly. So what I want you to do is in your heart of hearts, get as deep and sincere as you can and simply announce into that microphone, because you're the only one in the center of the stadium, I now ask for forgiveness from all of you who I may have offended knowingly or unknowingly. And you take a breath, do that. And then the next thing you say is, and I ask, and I forgive all those who may have offended me knowingly or unknowingly. Take a breath, say it with utmost sincerity, and lastly and most importantly, I now forgive myself. And then let anger that you're feeling slowly bubble away. And he says, release it. Now let it go. Let it go. So how's it working for you there, chat room person?
I'll wait. I'm waiting for her to respond. She's typing now.
Good.
I love this interaction with folks through the chat room. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. I always forget to turn that thing on. I'll turn it off the show. Like, oh, I forgot the chat room.
Yeah. Yeah, the chat room is pretty cool. I usually try to open the small one right there on the soundboard on the studio.
Okay.
And, but it depends on
myself.
You can't do it, yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah. Uh-oh. You got about 18 minutes left of the program.
I don't know how much is left of the cell phone. So if I go do it this time, you'll have to close it out.
I'll do that for you. She says, I've been using the forgiveness prayer from the Akashic the last 3 weeks. And I am open to letting it go.
Well, then, let it go. Well, let's see. Here we go. Oh, yeah, let's see.
I think that's a difficult concept for a lot of people. It was for me when you and I first started talking about it. You know, you make your choice. You want to hold on to that anger and that hatred, or do you want to, you know, receive love and forgiveness. And that's difficult to accept, that to realize that you can do it instantaneously.
Well, yeah, and it's there. The other thing is that I should mention, I've used this with, you know, a lot of folks, and the problem a lot of people have is they think of forgiveness. And this could be the case of that chat room person, because they all think of forgiveness with regards to being a particular individual incident. And that is guaranteed not to work. So the basic idea is to fill oneself with just forgiveness energy. Do not be related to anybody in any situation. And once, and when you're able to do that and get to 100% forgiveness energy, you can bring up the image of whatever it was that you were having challenges with, and it will be so insignificant it won't even matter. And she says, what?
She says, okay, I just wonder why every day the smallest thing flares me up.
Well, the challenge is, my thing would be to urge you, I'm talking to you in the chat room, to practice being in forgiveness as often as you can. Sometimes what people will do is they will want to use forgiveness like a magic bullet, and that's a little late, which is to say something comes up and say, oh, now I'm going to forgive. No. You need to make your contemplation, your prayer. Imagine what it was like for Jesus to be on the cross and to say, Father, forgive them, so they know not what they do. Fill yourself with that energy. Drop, you know, all other contemplation, meditation, look. Fill yourself with forgiveness. Just feel it. If you can feel it. And don't worry about the words. It's the emotion of forgiveness. And you may have to remember something that occurred once that someone did, and you really, really forgave them. You want to be in that. And it's not a mental activity. It's a beingness activity.
Right. Yep, she says that she's been crying a lot, and this is happening now, hadn't been before.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's an opportunity for her to go, you know, one-on-one with someone who has, you know, a healing competency.
Right.
You know, I don't know if it can be addressed, you know, satisfactorily on the phone. But there are a lot of people, you know, in different places and able to work with that stuff energetically. And that's probably about all I can tell you. So if you suddenly notice that I stopped talking this time, I have no choice. It just means that my phone is starting to beep now, and it's going down slowly.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, just ask this chat room lady. I want you to just hold still for a moment. See if we can just ask the universe to give you a light little energy bath, maybe give you a little boost in the direction that you want to go. So let's hold still. And also, it'd be important for you to be doing forgiveness, but also to ask your higher self to surround you with a shield of protective energy. You're marginal, God, it's clear that you don't have any protection. So it's you're picking up stuff from other folks which is not really wanted, you don't really need it. So it's less a reflection on you, more reflection on what's going on in your emotional environment. So that's about
She wanted to know if you do the work energetically.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm...
Yeah, when you do your sessions, yes.
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, let's see. I have something on the Universal Healer website, right? The... Hello, B?
Yeah. I'm still here, Gregory.
Yeah, well, universalhealer.org is our website, right?
Yeah, I'm putting it in the chat room for her.
Yeah, okay, and... there's a connection on there.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's universalhealer.org.
Yeah, and I think I'm on the first page, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
First or second page. So that'd be a way to contact.
Yeah.
And, okay, well, yeah. But, B, I'll tell you, this phone is about to die. So
I can hear
it,
yeah.
How long have
you've
we
got
gone?
About 12 minutes left. If you can't make it, I've got some lovely music to play besides Grazing in the Grass.
we'll just keep talking for the moment. And
she says, super, my lucky day. How great.
Who says that? She does?
Our friend Aura's, yes.
Oh, okay, great. Well, Dee, I want to thank you for, on behalf of your listeners and your dream gods, whoever you're going to be dreaming about, thank you for filling in as my producer and guest host, because I could not get on the Internet from where I am on the Internet access. But it's really great, and I'm really glad that Susan can hang with her. She's definitely a faithful listener, is keeping us on our toes. Is Susan still online? Can you put her back online?
I can put her back on. Yep, Susan's still with us. Here she is. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Hey, Susan.
Thank
you,
Gregory.
So are you doing okay out there?
Yes, I'm doing fine. I feel all this energy around me through my aura. Especially the front. I feel a lot of energy around my face, and I'm still wearing that hat that I don't have on from my crown chakra.
Aww.
Well, that's good. Well, keep doing the meditation.
It feels good, yeah.
Because this is the God Ascension experience that you just have. And it is a blessing to have, and it's a privilege to be able to share it with you. And to any of your listeners who actually went through the whole thing.
I really appreciate your help and listening to your shows. I really do. I want you to know that.
Well, thank you.
And you too, Barbara.
Well, we love you, Susan. You know that.
Now, the other thing I want to say, listeners, is if you go to the Lightgivers, that's with an F, .org website, you will see, and you click God Ascension, you will see the entire list of things that occur instantly. Now, what I did not say was that if they, the reason why for some people they have to sit with one of the Ascension Masters is sometimes what you want to do is go have them go down the list, or you can do it yourself, an energy check and say, now, which ones of these did not occur? And if it did not occur, then you can ask your higher self to reinstall them. If that doesn't work, then you may want to make an appointment with one of the Ascension Masters by way of going on the Lightgiver website, and they perhaps will be able to give you some help, you know, if that's something you want to do. And again, I regard the Lightgivers program essentially as one of spiritual information and service. So we really are not trying to develop a humongous client base. We're just trying to get this information out so you can use it for your own advancement. So, Bea, I think I'm going to go ahead and sign off now.
All righty. It's been a wonderful 90 minutes with you.
Well, thank you, Donna.
You betcha.
We'll be talking next week, I'm sure. And Susan, I look forward to chatting with you next week. See how you're doing.
All righty. Life is good. You betcha, Gregory. Good night. Good night, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour with Gregory Scott. This is your producer, Bea, and we'll be moving out with some music from Orville Byrd.
Thank you.